Shalom, and welcome to Torah Bites. This is Alan Gilman with Torah Bites for the week of June the 20th, 2026, the 5th of Tammuz, 5786. This week's message is entitled, God Forgives You, But... And I'm reading from 2 Shmuel, 2 Samuel, chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord has also put away your sin. You shall not die. Nevertheless, because by this deed you have utterly scorned the Lord, the child who is born to you shall die. The biblical story of David and Bathsheba is one of the most troubling, grievous, complex, and profound in the entire Bible. Within the overall biblical narrative, David plays a central role. No one else in Scripture is described as a man after God's own heart. It's David who's established as God's model king with whom all other kings are compared. It is he who is the eternal reflection of the Messiah known as Ben David, the son of David. It's his songs that serve as the core examples of godly prayer and worship for literally billions of people from his time until today. And yet, it's this same man who takes advantage of his royal position to sexually violate a woman resulting in pregnancy. Then, following his failed attempt to cover up the affair, he directs his general to create a situation whereby the husband, a most loyal member of David's army, is placed in an extremely vulnerable situation, making his death in battle inevitable. People seem to like to try to figure out the various factors that led to all this, including why David was hanging out in his palace at that time. Why was Bathsheba exposed like she was? But these questions miss the main point. What David did was horrible, which is why he was confronted by God through the prophet Nathan. What happens next is astounding, given the abundance of immorality and deception that preceded it. David confesses his wrongdoing without qualification, saying to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. But even more astounding is Nathan's response to David's confession. The Lord also has put away your sin. I would suspect that people familiar with the Bible are very aware that the God of Israel is a forgiving God. Did he not reveal himself to Moses, saying in Shemot Exodus 34, verse 7, that he's a God forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin? We must not miss the depth of such undeserved love that is available not only to David, but to us by our Creator, the Master of the universe. Now, I know a lot of biblically literate folks have the forgiveness thing down pat. Not that we don't need regular reminders or could ever plunge the depths of such a remarkable act of grace on God's part. At the same time, I wonder whether our understanding of God's amazing forgiveness is missing something. Check out what Nathan says next. In Hebrew, the very strong contrastive word ephes is used, which is difficult to fully convey in English. It marks a very hard line between what is said before and what comes after, which explains why, among a great variety of English versions, two common translations are nevertheless and however. While both capture a sense of change of direction in what is being said, they lack the sharpness of simply saying, as many translations do, but. God forgives you, but? Does that bother you? Does that go against your certainty that faith in Yeshua completely obliterates in every way anything and everything you've ever done wrong? Do you think that faith in Yeshua provides you with the ultimate get-out-of-jail-free card? If so, you don't understand biblically-based forgiveness. You're actually missing the profound depth of God's forgiveness as reflected in this story. Biblical forgiveness is about establishing and maintaining a right relationship with God. For about a year, David was out of sorts with God, but once he confessed his wrong, he was forgiven. But God's forgiveness doesn't necessarily annul the consequences of our wrongs. Fines must be paid, restitution must be made, time must be served. Thankfully, God's mercy may reduce the severity of the consequences, but not necessarily annul them, as it was in David's case. Tragically, we often confuse personal forgiveness with societal justice. If I wrong someone, it's wonderful to maintain a good relationship by being personally forgiven by them. But that doesn't get us off the hook for whatever we may be liable for due to our misdeeds. It's the same with God. Because of all that Yeshua has done, we can be assured of his forgiveness, but there still may be consequences to deal with. I know a person to whom someone confided that he had committed several acts of child abuse. After helping the confidant find forgiveness in God for his heinous acts, he lovingly walked him over to the police station to turn himself in. God forgives you, but isn't a way to say that God doesn't really forgive you, but rather that God's forgiveness is just the beginning of discovering the fullness of restoration God desires for us all. For more messages like this, visit the Torah Bytes website at www.torahbytes.org. Email your comments and questions to comments@torahbytes.org. And you can follow us on X @TorahBytes. Until next time, this is Alan Gilman with Torah Bytes. Lehitraot.